Blade and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. What's boom, going
boom,
on?
Boom, 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 boom. Oh man, song I know.
I feel like I should just let you vibe with this for a second, B-Bizzle.
Yeah, I was all about beats, man, because I could never understand people words. So I didn't know what they were saying, but I was like, oh, I like that beat.
Oh man, well, that's the Blues Traveler had a song that says it doesn't matter what I say, as long as I say it with inflection, the hook is what brings you back. Hook is what brings us back to Ryan Callahan. He hooks us in with all of his recruiting knowledge, recruiting editor for GoVols 24/7. Ryan, it's been a busy man. You're like a one-legged man at a butt-kicking contest these days. where do you even start? I apologize.
Where did that come from?
That's my grandfather used to say. When things got busy on the farm. Yes, when things got busy on the farm. That's what he said. We're going
to come up with the thing. That should be another topic. Things your grandpas used to say, man, that you should have your dad laughing today.
So with that, Ryan, welcome in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, plenty to talk about these days. I mean, we're just when we think we can focus on, you know, spring football practice, transition from basketball season, and then recruiting, a big week for Tennessee in football and basketball on that front. So baseball, it never ends, but this has been a pretty busy stretch here lately.
So where do we even start for basketball? We can go back a few days, and there was the French guy, Quentin Dibonger.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Lucas is nodding yes. Is that right?
I don't know. It sounds right, though. I like it.
So we can start with him, and then to Jonas, and then to Brandon. We'll just use first names if we have to, but let's hear about those guys.
Yeah, some fun pronunciations among these. Quentin Dibonger is how that one has been pronounced to me.
Okay.
Sort of an under the radar prospect from France, as you might imagine with that name, but a young wing and a talented guy that I think Tennessee's pretty excited about, despite him not being the highest ranked guy in this class for Tennessee. We've seen Rick Barnes find some sort of hidden gems somewhat, and I think they feel like they've got one in that. He's down at Montverde Academy in Florida right now, despite being from France. And you know, Tennessee, again, has somewhat similar background to a guy like Eve Pons, you know, that ended up being a really, really nice find. He was a little more highly touted than Dibonger, but still, I think they feel like they're getting a guy that has the potential to be a pretty major contributor down the road. 6'6", 185, and obviously that's the kind of guy you want on the wing these days with plenty of length. So I think they're happy about that pickup. But the two that were announced in different ways today, officially getting signing in place from one of the 2021 prospects they had just landed, Jonas Adu, a top 100 player, a center, 6'11", from Charlotte, North Carolina. And then the sort of the big news of the day that people were maybe not expecting to happen at this point, but that had been kind of hinted at for a while, 5-star power forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield committing to the Vols in the 2022 class. So put all that together, it's going to be a very different looking roster from last year. We knew it would be, but a couple big additions there in the post where they definitely need to get better. That I don't think they felt they had enough of a post presence this past season. Definitely addressing that with both that signing and the class of 2022 commitment that won't obviously be there until next year. But still two big additions there, and they continue to recruit well despite sort of a disappointing season. Obviously, with the way things ended, fans may be wondering if that's going to hurt recruiting in any way, and that's definitely not been the case so far. Rick Barnes and his staff still have it rolling pretty well on that front.
Joined by Ryan Callahan from 24/7 Sports, talking Vols, recruiting, and more.
Well, Ryan, I know this is not recruiting, but you were talking about, you know, 6'11 is, you know, 6'11 guys that are signing there. Has Fulkerson made a decision, or does this make him make a decision?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has not announced a decision yet. Now, the good thing for him is, and I guess for Tennessee, for the purposes of planning, is they don't have to really worry about whether he sticks around or not, because the free year of eligibility for the NCAA allows seniors to come back next year and not really count toward the scholarship limit. So they can sort of plan on him not being there and not have to worry about it either way in terms of the numbers. So him coming back would obviously be an added bonus, but no, he has not announced anything yet, and that's still sort of looming out there as one of the big pieces of news that's yet to be determined about this team and how it will look next season. So I think there's still a good bit of optimism that he returns, but we just don't know for sure. And there's been some chatter lately behind the scenes that maybe he announces something here pretty soon. So we'll see if that happens. But I think he's been thinking about it the past few weeks and should be getting fairly close to a decision. Even if it's not in the next few days, I think we should hear something on that before long. But I think there's still a real chance he returns.
Well, I guess let's get on to, we're on with Ryan Callahan with GoBalls 247, and that is football, of course. I guess maybe we need to talk about, I guess, the commit so far for the 2022, and then who's on the radar for them in that class here in the, you know, mid-state.
Well, a bunch of guys, honestly. It's such a good in-state class in 2022 that Tennessee is, like a lot of schools, in on a lot of guys in-state and especially in the mid-state. But they got one of those guys yesterday, jump-starting the class with Elijah Herring, the linebacker from Riverdale High School there in Murfreesboro, of course, and a good program that's put out a number of good players over the years. And Herring, I think, a really nice pickup. A guy that's, you know, when you look at this class as a whole, he's not going to stand out in the rankings as one of the top five or seven guys in this class. But I think a really good, talented guy with a lot of upside, because he's probably going to be playing a position in college that's a little bit different from what he's done in high school. He's been more of an edge rusher in high school, but he's a pretty big frame guy, around 6'2", 225 right now. I think he's going to end up being an inside linebacker probably at the next level, so that addresses a pretty big need for Tennessee in that class to get some help fairly soon at that position to sort of restock the depth there. And he's on a 7-on-7 team there in the Middle Tennessee area with a lot of Tennessee targets, including some guys in Memphis who are on that team, but also Isaiah Horton, the 4-star wide receiver at Oakland, that's been a longtime Tennessee target. A couple guys in Memphis, Cameron Miller, a 4-star receiver, and Dallin Hayden, who are longtime Tennessee targets, the 4-star running back, Dallin Hayden. And then Miles Pollard, the cornerback at Ravenwood. So a bunch of important Tennessee targets on that team, and now this gives Tennessee an important connection to some of those guys to maybe help out. But there's certainly a lot of in-state targets in Middle Tennessee and elsewhere Tennessee is still involved with, and getting a guy like that definitely gives them gets things started and gives them a little bit of a foothold there to maybe add some more in-state players to this class eventually.
We're on with recruiting editor Ryan Callahan with GoVols 247. I guess one more for me, and that is, I guess they approved that an athlete can transfer, you know, with immediate eligibility after 1 year. Does that affect the SEC, or is that everybody has to abide by what the NCAA says?
Well, so there are two levels to that. So this, what's being approved, and I guess it's not been completely finalized yet, although it's obviously been reported that it's going to be finalized this week. They've been having meetings today, in fact, on some of the rules changes that they'll be adopting for this coming year. But one of those things is the one-time transfer exception. And two things have to happen to that from an SEC perspective. The NCAA approving it will make it an option, obviously, for mostly intra-conference transfers from the SEC's perspective. That rule also, though, it can have more restrictive rules from one conference to the next. And so in the SEC's case, they've had their own rule in place for years that has prevented intra-conference transfers from being eligible right away. That used to also apply to graduate transfers. And just a few years ago, you might remember Tennessee's offensive lineman Brandon Kennedy having to sort of jump through some hoops to go from Alabama to Tennessee and be eligible right away. He was eventually cleared, but that was not an easy thing at the time. So now grad transfers can transfer and be eligible right away in the SEC. But even if this NCAA rule is passed, the SEC still has to take the step of making it allowed for intra-conference transfers. So Tennessee, in theory, would be able to add out-of-conference players and they'd be eligible right away. But for anyone transferring within the conference, there would still be an approval process, and most players would have to assume they would have to sit out unless the SEC allows that. So it's up to the SEC at that point, but this has been expected for a while. So big news, and obviously it has a lot of ripple effect throughout college sports, frankly, just to have that ability to transfer and be eligible right away. It's kind of free agency in college sports, and it's going to make the transfer portal an even bigger deal.
No doubt about it. We're on with recruiting editor Ryan Callahan with GoBalls 247.
So speaking of recruiting, did I see this never-ending dead period might actually end? really? I mean, are we out of dead period? Are we finally going to leave the dead period behind?
It looks like that's the case. That's one of the other things they are deciding on today and should be announced, I think, by tomorrow at the latest, that they are voting to end that dead period. Now, the details of exactly how it ends and what will be allowed will be interesting to see. But this is something that they've sort of hinted at for the past few weeks, that it was likely coming. They've extended this several times, obviously, since shutting things down last March. So for more than a year, there's been no in-person recruiting visits. You've had players that have sometimes gone to campuses on their own dime and just looked around. But when they go, they can't meet with coaches. They can't really do anything you would normally do on a recruiting visit other than look around the campus and go anywhere that the public is allowed to go. So it's been very limited. And that's forced everything to be handled by Zoom. But now, starting June 1st, in some form or fashion, it sounds like there will be in-person recruiting, at least on college campuses. And so the question becomes, will they pick up with where they would normally be in a normal recruiting calendar on June 1st? Will they alter it a little bit this year? Because normally there's a month-long dead period that starts in late June and goes into late July. So will they keep that dead period there? Will they shorten that? Will there not be a dead period at all this summer, since it's already been a dead period for more than a year? They've still got some things to figure out. Will college camps be held in the same capacity with hundreds of kids on the field together at these college camps to give prospects a chance to work out in front of college coaches and earn offers and things like that? Some details to figure out, and that'll be the fascinating part of the announcement. But that is coming. The dead period will end, and June 1st, finally, recruits will be able to take true visits again.
It's interesting to me, Ryan, to look ahead a year or so from now and think about all these guys and gals too, people who are going to colleges that they never, like you said, some went on their own dime. But if you didn't have your own dime to fly across the country or whatever, you're going to some place to live and play sports and go to school that you've never been to. I wonder how many people might get there. Maybe they're from somewhere warm and they go somewhere cold. Or they're from one side of the country and they go to the other, or they're from the south and they go to the north, however it might be. And they get there and think, oh my gosh, I want out of here. I wonder what that portal is going to look like next year with people who are getting somewhere and thinking, this is not where I want to live for 4 years.
Yeah, it's interesting that the one-time transfer exception is being approved on the NCAA level at the same time this dead period is finally coming to an end. Because those two things, I think, will end up being very closely related, as you said. I think there's a lot of speculation that this class, this one that just signed, and these players who will enroll this summer in particular, since they went through the final 10 months or 12 months of the recruiting process without getting to take official visits or any of that stuff, really might have more transfers than you see in a typical class. Obviously, only time will tell with that, but there's so much unknown. I mean, you can take all the Zoom virtual tours of campuses you want. You can talk with coaches by Zoom and by FaceTime all you want. That's not necessarily the same as being around on a visit, getting to spend time with players and get some honest feedback from them. It's not the same from college's perspective. They can't get a player on campus and get a read for that player's personality and character. So how many players do they end up taking that maybe they have buyer's remorse on in some cases, where guy gets in trouble once he gets to college because of some red flags that maybe you could have seen if you'd gotten him on campus as a recruit. So could be some real trouble with both on both sides for some of these players, but they did the best they could, everyone involved. And now it's thankfully for the 2022 class, that won't be the same. It looks like with this, obviously things opening up June 1st, they'll at least get to take some visits these final 7 months or so leading up to that early signing period. And that's a big deal.
On with Ryan Callahan, at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter, recruiting editor for Go Vols 247.
Well, just a couple more questions there, Ryan. And that is, how many guys are coming down for the 2020 class, I guess, for an official visit for like the spring game, right?
Well, yeah, so the dead period will not end in time for the spring game for Tennessee to host any true visitors for that. But again, with the dead period, players can still come on their own dime. So what you've seen from Tennessee with their announcement of how they'll handle fans for the spring game is sort of first come, first serve, no tickets being distributed. So they certainly are hoping some prospects will be in attendance for that game, but definitely some official visits will crank up in June. And we've already had a number of Tennessee targets and players targeted by their schools lining up official visits and announcing dates for June. So this has been long anticipated, and a lot of players have already made plans for official visits in the month of June. So that month will be pretty wild, I think, in terms of just the sheer amount of players you'll see going to campuses, having that chance for the first time. Tennessee's, you know, they got another commitment today from Vincent Snead, a defensive end from Florida. So up to two commitments and kind of getting the ball rolling on that class. And some big-name players already planning to visit in June. Mike O'Reilly, a top tight end target from Nebraska, who's a four-star prospect. Terrence Gibbs, a highly ranked running back from Florida. Both those guys scheduled. And then Tennessee's top quarterback target, Taven Jackson from Indiana. He's already scheduled to come down the second weekend in June. So a number of other guys already visiting. But, yeah, Tennessee's got a pretty full schedule already for June, and I'm sure a lot more who will be added along with whoever visits for camps and all that stuff. If you like recruiting, the month of June is going to be pretty interesting to follow because there will be a lot happening either way.
No doubt about it. I guess lastly, and you may not know the answer to this question, is about the spring game. And I'm asking, how will it be structured, like as far as the actual scrimmaging? Are they doing, you know, ones versus ones, you know, ones versus twos, or threes versus threes? How are they, you know, planning to do it, or if you know or not?
Yeah, we don't know on that yet. The details haven't been announced on that just yet, but that's something that sometimes varies a little bit based on the injury situation. We've seen coaches change plans depending on how much depth they have. In Tennessee's case, for instance, they've got three or four scholarship linebackers out there, so they want to go ones versus twos, or get a little creative in how you divide up the team. Some years it's offense against defense, so there's really no telling on that yet, and we'll have to wait and see what Josh Heupel says about that probably on Saturday when we speak with him again. But that's we've seen a lot of those different variations over the years, and I'm sure they'll do as close as they can to a normal game. But sometimes staffs have to get creative with the depth, and Tennessee's situation at a couple positions certainly could play into that.
Cool. Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Anybody that's even driven through Knoxville recently, if they call into the show, I feel like we have to ask them, what are you hearing about the quarterbacks? Just so we'll ask, because you've been in Knoxville, what are you hearing about the quarterbacks?
They got three. Well, thankfully, we got to see them a little bit Saturday with the open practice. That was a nice treat for those of us who cover the team. I felt like media made up probably 10% of the people in attendance because there were so many of us eager to actually see a few minutes of real football. But yeah, that gave us a real glimpse, I think, of where that stands right now. I think, and everything we had heard kind of aligned with this, what we saw Saturday, I think Hendon Hooker, the Virginia Tech transfer, looked like the early front runner to me. I think maybe pretty clearly at the moment. Now, Brian Maurer had some really good moments, made some plays. But he's still kind of the same guy he's been throughout his Tennessee career, which is has some really high highs, but also some really low lows. He continues to make throws that you just can't make, very, very loose with the ball, making some risky throws. So I think that's going to hinder him a little bit as he continues to compete for that job, but he's still in the mix. And Harrison Bailey mostly worked with the second and third team offenses. So looks like he at least has some ground to make up right now, but I certainly wouldn't count him out of it this early. So, Caden Salter, the wild card, he's not out there yet, but he should return from his suspension at some point. Does he end up becoming a factor? But right now, Hendon Hooker's an experienced guy, 15 starts at Virginia Tech the past 2 years, and he looked pretty steady out there Saturday. So he may not have the highest ceiling out of those guys, but to me, he's the one they feel they can count on probably with that experience and just kind of how consistent he's been so far.
Ryan, real quick, do you know why Hooker transferred from Virginia Tech? I mean, did he lose his job through injury, or how did that happen?
Yeah, so there was an interesting story because he was in the he briefly entered the transfer portal the previous offseason too, before deciding to come back and stay at Virginia Tech for another year, and then started another 7 or 8 games last year. He did end up losing the starting job before the end of last season. But I can't remember if that was an injury situation or what. But he had a strange deal. Oh, it was a game that where he kind of left with some numbness in one of his extremities or something. It was sort of a confusing situation to a lot of people. But that next game, he didn't come back in as a starter. And then a few weeks later, he's in the transfer portal. So it happened pretty quickly. But the fact that he'd been in the portal the previous season too made you wonder if there were some. There's just maybe some friction with that staff or anything like that. You never know what could be going on behind the scenes, but certainly wasn't because he was out of the mix for the starting job. He would have been in the discussion, I think, at Virginia Tech again this year, but just clearly wanted a fresh start somewhere and had at least 1 year of eligibility left and had kind of toyed with the idea of moving on the previous year too.
Cool.
Good stuff, Ryan. We'll keep in touch. I guess the Wade brothers are set to announce where they're headed tomorrow. So possibly maybe some more Tennessee recruiting news before the end of the week, maybe possibly.
Maybe. I think you know, we've got our latest update on GoVols 24/7 right now. I think another SEC team might be the more likely destination there. I think there's a lot of Kentucky talk right now, and would not be surprised if those guys end up choosing the Wildcats. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But that one's been an interesting battle down the stretch and has had an interesting twist here the past few weeks. So I think Kentucky might be the favorite at this point.
Well, people just need to follow you at Ryan Callahan 247 for all the latest news, because you always got it. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Yes, sir.